Planet X, which is often called Planet 9, is a hypothetical planetary body that some scientists believe exists out beyond Pluto and Neptune. Regular mathematical wobbles in the orbits of some of the distant bodies in our solar system point towards something that we can't account for, exerting a periodic gravitational tug on them. So, is there a giant planet out there? Here's Matt Bothwell, public astronomer at Cambridge University's Institute of Astronomy.
This sometimes gets called Planet X or Planet 9. Planet X meaning 10, of course, in Roman numerals, when we used to have Pluto. The idea of there being a mysterious, massive planet beyond the orbit of Pluto, that would have been the 10th planet. Since Pluto got kicked out of the Planet Club, now this mysterious planet that some people think might exist in the dark outer reaches of our solar system, if we find it, would be Planet 9. And that's the question. Is there a fairly massive planet that we haven't found yet lurking in the freezing darkness of the outer solar system?
Why do space scientists think there might be?
The best way of answering this is go back in time 250 years. Astronomers had just discovered the planet Uranus in 1781. And then in the decades following Uranus's discovery, astronomers noticed that it was speeding up and slowing down in ways that were hard to square with our understanding of how gravity worked. And the best explanation that we had is that there was another planet outside of the orbit of Uranus, and it was the gravity of this unseen planet pushing Uranus around. So mathematicians did some calculations, we pinpointed this planet, and it did exist. It turned out to be Neptune. So the way we found Neptune wasn't just because we spotted something in the sky and went, huh, that's funny. It's because we saw the planet Uranus, something that we knew existed, being pushed around by something invisible. And in short, that seems to be happening again. So where Pluto lives in the outskirts of the solar system, there's this whole population of what get called TNOs, for trans-Neptunian objects. And when you look at the orbits of all these different TNOs in the outer solar system, they sort of seem like they are being shepherded or herded by something massive that we haven't seen yet. All of their orbits seem to be lining up in a way that sort of goes beyond coincidence, but would make perfect sense if there's a missing planet out there.
How big would that have to be, that missing planet, in order to produce those effects?
Estimates vary, but at the very least a few times the size of Earth, maybe even up to a Uranus or Neptune-style gas giant, ice giant.
And just one planet, or could there be a swarm of them out there? Can the maths resolve that?
I think our best guess is one so far, if only just because it's sort of the simplest explanation. Once we have some future telescopes that come online, we might get a better idea of exactly how these TNOs are behaving, and we'll be able to constrain it a bit better. But at the moment, one planet is our best guess.
And you've sort of anticipated my next question, which is going to be seeing it. So what's it going to take? How are we going to resolve this quandary?
Yeah, it's really tricky because in theory, there's nothing stopping us seeing this planet. The problem is we don't really know where it is. It's a bit more of a complicated problem than the astronomers were trying to solve when they found Neptune. Uranus was behaving quite sensibly, and we were able to pinpoint Neptune's position quite accurately. The TNOs that seem to be sort of lining up and swarming in this particular way are a bit more hard to pin down. And so the haystack that we are looking for our needle in is enormous, basically. And so we have a huge swath of sky that this thing could exist in, and it's likely to be incredibly small and faint. Luckily, we have a telescope coming online over the next year or so, which is going to be absolutely perfect for this, called the Vera Rubin Observatory. And the really amazing thing about Rubin is that it's doing something almost that no telescope has ever done before. Most telescopes are very, very powerful and look at very, very small patches of sky. So listeners might have come across the James Webb telescope. It's an incredibly powerful telescope. It can see right across the other side of the universe, but it looks at this astonishingly tiny little dot of sky. And if you were going to just scan the possible area where this planet could live with the James Webb telescope, it would take 1,000 years to find. Rubin, the Vera Rubin telescope, is going to be able to photograph the entire sky every few days down to this incredible level of faintness. And so if there is anything out there that is Planet 9, Vera Rubin will almost certainly find it.
Where is this amazing telescope, and when will it turn on?
So the telescope is in Chile and under some of the clearest skies in the world. And first light, which is what we call the telescope's first glimpse of the sky, is due this year in July 2025.
So we're going to find out some pretty good stuff pretty soon then. Obviously, it wasn't conceived in order to solve this problem. This is just something that might be amenable to looking at or being explored with this telescope. What's its primary purpose? What's it there to solve?
So it's going to be really good at what we call time domain astronomy, which basically is the astronomer's lingo for anything that is changing over time. So any kind of transient event, like an exploding star or a gamma ray burst or a black hole that's changing how fast it's gobbling up the dust and gas around it, anything that's rapidly changing in the sky, because Vera Rubin will photograph the entire sky every few days, will actually get to be able to make almost videos, if you like, right? So we will have that extra time components where we'll be able to see stars exploding and then fading away. We'll be able to see black holes growing and growing and growing as they gobble stuff in front of our eyes. Because it photographs the entire sky as well, we're also hoping it's going to make massive strides in our understanding of dark energy and dark matter, because it's going to be really good at making these enormously wide-scale maps of the cosmos, which is exactly what we need to understand our universe on the biggest scales and tell something about dark energy and dark matter.
And we'll keep an ear to the ground for what happens when the Vera Rubin Observatory goes live later this year. Lots of interesting things certainly in store from where that's based. That was Matt Bothwell. He's at the University of Cambridge.